As you are all familiar, December 17th, which is a week before Christmas Eve and Christmas, starts a whole new liturgical direction. You notice, for instance, we had the first of the famous O antiphons. O wisdom of our God Most High, guiding creation with power and love, come to teach us the path of knowledge. Who's the wisdom of God? Jesus Christ. So we begin now to call out, and every one of these antiphons has come in it, which is the basic prayer that every human being makes to God. Come, help me, guide me, you know, teach us the path to knowledge. This is the first of these. They're old. They go back to the 4th or 5th century. They were, there are seven of them. They were first used, and still are used, as the antiphon for the Magnificat at evening prayer. That's their native home. But in the liturgical reform, they were placed here because not everybody says evening prayer. And so they wanted everybody to have the advantage of the wealth of these things. And so that's what we have. Then, in the first reading from Isaiah, we have this prophecy of Judah. Judah the king. Because it is from Judah that David springs, as you just heard. And so this is the prophecy of the kingship of Christ. And the mace will never part from between his legs. That's the scepter, but it's a big scepter in this tradition. And it'll never part. He is the king. And we pray that he come and teach us the way to knowledge. And then we have the Christmas song. This is the third time in Advent we've had this song. And we're going to go back and look at it in the time we have. And then we have this genealogy. Jesus is the son of the promise. He's the son of David and the son of Abraham. And to both of these men was promised posterity. To both of these men, and to David, was promised that there would be someone on the throne forever. And so after centuries of no king at all, just read like Psalm 89, the whole first part recalling the oath that God made to David, there will always be somebody on the throne, I will never, and look what you've done, God, you've rejected us, we have no king. And yet, the people of faith never turned their back on that promise. And so when the angel came to Mary and said, he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. Here is the son of David. And he rules forever. And so we read this whole genealogy to show us how deeply God has entered our history. Most of the people in this genealogy are not saints. They're sinners. And it is from them that the Son of God takes his flesh. He is not embarrassed to be one of us. And that's why as we start this very special week, we stop and say, who is Jesus? Where does he come from? What kind of a family does he have? And then we hear it. That's mercy. That's mercy. And then, from this stump of Jesse, you see, comes this one. And so, we have this prayer for the king. The heading in the psalm says, you know, this is of David and Le Shlomo. About Solomon, but it's not about Solomon. Solomon is just a dim type in his wisdom of Jesus. And so we pray, huh? My friends, you understand, we have about 8 or 9 days to prepare our hearts for a new mystical presence of the Word of God incarnate in our midst, in the midst of the church. We have this time to be ready for the gift of His new presence. We say these things, the Lord is coming soon, the Lord is coming soon. Do we know what that means? That God is going to grace us with the new presence of the incarnate Word in our midst? That's what the church does when it celebrates the liturgy. That's why all these texts, that's why all this song, that's why all this, to prepare us. Oh, wisdom, it says, come. Guide, you guide creation with power and love. Come to teach us the path to knowledge, path of knowledge. That's a promise. We pray that prayer. We'll add there every day another prayer. It's not just for ourselves. It's for this whole world. Let the Lord Christ come and take over our lives. I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. Why don't we have as our greatest ambition that that be totally true of us? That means dying to sin. That means paying the price. But hey, look. Yesterday, 400 or 500 guys were out there beating up on one another to make a few dollars. And they work. Some of them take a little dope on the side, but they all work to keep their bodies in shape so they can make some bucks, they can win a ball game. And we are working for eternal life. And we have the whole world to care for and to bring to Christ. We're baptized. We receive the body and blood of the Lord. And that's why we pray this psalm, you see. We'll have it again, this Christmas psalm. And then, of course, it's the theme song of Epiphany. This is the psalm. Send us a king, you see. Endow the king with your judgment, your mishpat. And with your justice, the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice and your afflicted ones with judgment. Don't we yearn for that? Some place where there's no corruption, no power games, no, a king who can change our hearts and give us peace. That's what's promised to us. I think it takes a lot of prayer and meditation to realize, especially as we live in a Protestant culture where there is no liturgy. I mean, there's feast days, but there's no liturgy. That requires a sacramental sense, and our Protestant brothers are still not happy with that. They have to grow into that. So this is not lightly done. There are nearly 1 billion people in this world right now who at least are touched by this liturgy. Most of the Christians, over 3/4 of them in the world, are Catholics. Now, a lot of them are Catholics because they're nothing else. But can we pray for a renewal of the church in this week, right in our midst, so that there will be this? It won't come. He's not going to come like a, you know, split the sky and come down and shape up everybody. He's going to come in your heart and shape you up if you want it. And then you no longer live. Christ lives in you. And then Christ can do miracles of holiness, forgiveness, healing. That's what it's all about.